The previous sermon key verses, as it is projected, let us look at that in terms of the specific verses that we can understand about the ability of God. First, we started with God is able to save. Shall we all read these verses just as a recollection of what we have heard in the past weeks? God is able to save, from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, altogether, please. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And then we have also meditated on God is able to deliver, from Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17 altogether. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. Again, God is able to deliver, from Daniel chapter 6. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? I believe the Lord has been speaking to us through these past three sermons on the fact that God is able to save and God is able to deliver. If you haven't heard these sermons, you can go to our church website as well, zion-church.org, to know, to be able to hear for the first time or hear it over and over again, because it's very important for us to be able to have God's word in our hearts, in our lives, and to apply God's word as well as the time and the circumstances come into our perspective. Today, we are going to meditate on another aspect about the ability of God. God is able to perform. Shall we all read this from Romans chapter 4 and verse 21 as it is projected here? I picked up from the King James Version this time. So let us read this together, all together, Romans 4:21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Shall we read this in another language? In Telugu language, shall we read this? Romila Krasan Patrika, Nalgo Ajayama, Irvayakdo Vachanam, Andran Kalsichal Kundam. Devuni Mahima Parachi, Aina Vagdanamu Chesina Danani, Nerver Chutaku, Samardudani, Rudiga Viswasinchi, Viswasam Valna, Balamanandeno. Shall we read this in Urdu as well? Aurusko Kamil Itakad Huak, ki jo kuch usne vada kiya hai, wo uske pura karne par bhi khadir hai. May the Lord enable us to focus our attention on this particular verse today. May we have an undivided attention to the listening of God's word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, it is your word that makes a difference in our lives. Not human words, but your word. So may I request you to open our hearts that and our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word. Lord, we are a people yearning to hear from you. We are yearning to be satisfied. Lord, we have come with hunger. We hunger and thirst for your righteousness. So won't you speak to us, Lord? Won't you meet our needs? Lord, we have come with different situations that are going on in our lives right now. Personally, family-wise, job-wise, many situations that are going on spiritually as well. Right now, I pray, Lord, that you may speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. The book of Romans is a wonderful book in terms of understanding the aspects about justification, sanctification, glorification. They're tough words. And we also meditated in our Bible study almost a year. We have meditated as well from this book. I'm sure you must have meditated on it personally as well, the book of Romans. It talks about wonderful aspects about salvation. It talks about how the word of God has been continuously being shown forth to us from the Old Testament, how the plan of God has been accomplished, and how the Old Testament is the shadow of the things that were coming in the New Testament. And that is what the story we're going to meditate upon today. And today's verse that we picked up from Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, there are three words that I want us to focus upon. And those three words, you can start noting down in your notes as well. That is, God is able to perform. First, persuade. promise, and perform. I'm giving you all the three words right now. Why? Because all the three are in that verse. If you see, just I have put it on the top as well. God is able to perform on the top, as it says there. And being persuaded, that's the first word, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Three words, easy to remember. Persuade, promise, and perform. Word of God enables us to understand some of the things that are essential for us. And in this particular verse, these are the three words. These are the three key words. In some other translations, it uses the word, instead of persuade, it says convinced. In some other translations, English translations, it uses the word assured. Rudiga viswasinchita, it says in Telugu. Persuade and promise and perform. So today, we are going to look into these three aspects, and may the Lord enable us to understand what this particular verse is talking about. If you go back to this entire chapter, it talks about the justification that comes by faith. And even in the third chapter, a very familiar verse, as we know, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, it says in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And then in chapter 4, beginning, he starts talking about Abraham, who is of the Old Testament, and how we can understand about that forefather as to what he believed. And that is what we are going to see here. We are not going to look at every verse in this particular chapter, but something that we can focus upon that is essential. And the first thing that you and I need to understand in this section of persuade is faith. Persuade, meaning from Abraham's perspective, that's what is written. And being fully persuaded, who is he talking about? Abraham. And he talks about the fact about his faith. His faith is being mentioned here. And also it says that he believed God. Let us look at that from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. As I keep telling, please open your Bibles and quickly read it. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Yesterday, in an event, the verses were announced, and immediately whoever is going to pick up the verse quickly has to read it aloud. And we've been doing it on a regular basis in our church. We are used to it. So let's do that. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. One of us, could you please read it? He believed in the Lord, and it was reckoned to him, counted to him, or credited to him as righteousness. This is talking about Abraham. Abraham, in other words, his name that was earlier called as Abram, God told that he is going to have a child. He's going to have an heir. And that heir, now in verse 5, he took him outside and showed the heavens and asked him to count the stars. If you're able to count them, so shall your descendants be. What did Abraham do? Verse 6, he believed. He believed in the Lord, and it reckoned unto him as righteousness. You can note down on the bottom of that, the three sections that you have, the three underlines, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It is the belief in God that was counted to him for righteousness. Not the belief in his flesh that he is able to have children. Because he believed God. He believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. It was credited to him. It was a credit that was given to him. And that was because of the belief that he had. The same verse is repeatedly coming even in back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. It talks about the same thing in verse 3. One of us, would you please read Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. Abraham believed God. So Romans, the writer of Romans, Paul the Apostle, is comparing the story of Abraham to the justification or salvation experience. And in that he was talking about Abraham believed God. The faith that he had in the God who is able to do, or he is able to perform. And even in verse 22, what does it say? It was imputed to him for righteousness. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Why Paul is constantly mentioning about the same thing. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Yes, it is all because Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. James chapter 2 and verse 23 also says that. You don't need to open it. If you want to note down these references, you can note it down. James chapter 2. Maybe we'll see that, because there is something more attached to that. James chapter 2 and verse 23. There was an additional word that was put forth. I really love this. The way in which it was mentioned that Abraham was called the friend of God. Why? Because in this verse 23, he believed God. It was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Believing in God, having faith in him. These two words, pistos in Greek, it says the faith is a noun and believed means it's a verb, or in other words, belief. Both relate to the same thing about the faith. And it is very essential for us to have that faith. Do you have that faith in God? I'm asking you. Do you have that faith in Yesu Christ and the Viswasam Unchutunara Meru? Are you believing in God that Jesus Christ has come into this world to die for you on the cross of Calvary? Romans chapter 4. Just like Abraham believed that God is able to do that, you and I need to have that faith that God is able to save me. He is able to deliver me. He is able to take care of my situations in my life. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And what kind of a faith did he have? Verse 19. Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. Being not weak in faith. That belief or faith that he had, it was not a weak faith, my dear. Yes. Yes, he did not consider about his body. He did not look at his situation. He just looked at the word of God. He just believed in the God who told him. And he believed, he had so much of faith in God that he did not become weak in faith. God doesn't want us to have weak faith in our lives. He wants us to have strong faith. Even last Friday night, we were meditating on the fact that God should enable us to strengthen our faith. We want God to strengthen our faith. And then we notice later on in the next verse, we'll see that in verse 20, what does it say? He was strong in faith. He did not become weak in faith in verse 19. And in verse 20, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. In my translation, it says, grew strong. Growing strong in faith. God wants us to grow strong in faith. It is a journey, my dear. In that journey, we need to get stronger in our faith. He grew strong in faith. Probably initially, he was unable to have that kind of a strong faith in his life. And as it moved on, he was able to become strong in his faith, giving glory to God. We know that story from Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17 talks about that wonderful story about about what God has told. And initially, you know what it says in Genesis chapter 17? In Genesis chapter 17, it says that, and when God has told him that he is going to have a child, immediately he laughs. And he laughs, and then God said, no, that's how you are going to name your child as Isaac, because you laughed. Even Sarah as well, she laughed. Both of them laughed because they were probably, they were having faith, but they were slowly growing in strong faith. If you read Genesis chapter 17, I was just looking at the verse. Chapter 17 and verse 17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So he laughed. And then in verse 19, but God said, no, Sarah, your wife will bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac. And then in verse 18 as well, it says in verse 12, chapter 18, verse 12, Sarah laughed to herself saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And then, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I'm so old? They were growing in faith. They first heard God telling him, But as they were proceeding ahead, they were able to have that faith in God. And that is why in Hebrews chapter 11, they are mentioned, both of their names are mentioned in the people of faith or the hall of faith, and that are mentioned here. My dear, what is our faith? Where is our faith? What kind of faith do we have? Do we have that saving faith in Lord Jesus Christ that He is the only one who can save me? To be able to fully believe in His word, believe in Him. And that is what it is essential in our lives. Many times we tend to have that feeling sometimes that we must have lost our faith. Have you ever lost your faith? Maybe we should phrase it this way. Have you felt your faith begin to shake? A small boy, I want to share with you this story. A small boy was riding a bus home from Sunday school. He was very proud of the card he had received in his Sunday school, which had a picture and a caption that read, "Have faith in God." In his Sunday school, he received that small slip. Then to his dismay, the card slipped from his hand and fluttered out the window. That card fell off. He shouted, "Stop the bus!" he cried. "I've lost my faith in God. I lost my faith in God." Instead of saying, "I lost my card," because it said, "Have faith in God," "I lost my faith in God," he said. The driver pulled the bus to a stop. Everybody in the bus were thinking, "What happened? This boy lost his faith in God." He stopped the bus and then the little boy climbed out and went to retrieve his card. And one of the adult riders smiled and made a comment about the innocence of the young boy. A more perspective adult observed, and he said, "All of us would be better off if we were all that concerned about our faith. If we were all that concerned about our faith. To be able to say, 'Oh, what's happening to my faith? What is happening to my faith? And I'm unable to really experience the faith that I'm essentially need to have.'" There are different kinds of faith. A saving faith. A sustaining faith. A faith that will enable us to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The faith that enables us to move on in our Christian faith. And that is what is essential, my dear. Not only faith, but also, it says, hope against hope. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verses 17 and 18. God who quickeneth the dead, God who lives, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations. He believed, it says in verse 17, God who gives life to the dead, who quickeneth the dead, and also he calls into being that which does not exist. Let there be light, and there was light. God, when he had created so much, if you read Genesis chapter 1, from nothing he created everything. He is a God who can bring life out of a dead person as well. He was able to believe. And then he says in verse 18, in hope against hope. Hope against hope. You can note it down. What is this hope against hope? In hope against his own hope. Certain times we have a hope. But the hope that we have should be more than the hope that God gives us. The hope in God should be more than the hope that we have. The hope that we talk about is, "I hope to see you tomorrow." Means I'm still doubtful. Some people say, "I hope to see you tomorrow." Meaning they're still doubtful. That hope that we use, the word hope, is not 100%. We still have a question mark whether that person will come tomorrow or not. That's the hope. Or we ourselves will say, "I hope to see you tomorrow." If we are sure, you'll say, "I will see you tomorrow." But otherwise, we'll say, "I hope to see you tomorrow." Why? They themselves are not sure whether they'll be able to make it tomorrow or not. Such is the kind of hope that humans have. Hope against our own hope. The hope in God against our own hope. The hope against hope, he believed that he might become a father of many nations. when God could quicken the dead, he had that hope that God can quicken his own life, being 100 years old. When medically speaking, practically speaking, even for that matter, Sarah's womb as well, the deadness of Sarah's womb, God could bring life. Such is the God we have. When we were dead in our sins and trespasses, Christ Jesus came into this world. Ephesians chapter 2. Let us look at that. Ephesians chapter 2. And that is why the book of Romans is talking. He's comparing the life of Abraham and Sarah and saying that that dead situation that they were in, God could bring life to him. God could bring a child through these two people. A life could come out. He could quicken the dead. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. When you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That is like the comparison that Paul is talking about. We were all dead in our sins and trespasses. Chadavandi evaranna modati vachanam. Ephesians rasin patrika 2nd adhyayam modati vachanam. కలుసున్నాయండి. అపరాధముల చేతను పాపం చేతను చచ్చిన వారై ఉండగా, వి వర్ డెడ్ బై బర్త్, వీఆర్ డెడ్ ఇన్ స్పిరిట్ మై డియర్. దో వీ హ్యావ్ లైఫ్ ఆన్ దిస్ ఎర్త్, బై బర్త్ దట్ స్పిరిట్ ఇస్ డెడ్, అండ్ ద ఓన్లీ వన్ హూ కెన్ గివ్ లైఫ్ టు దట్ స్పిరిట్ ఇస్ జీసస్ క్రైస్ట్. సో బై బర్త్ వీఆర్ డెడ్ ఇన్ అవర్ సిన్స్ అండ్ ట్రెస్పాసెస్, బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ క్రైస్ట్ జీసస్ హూ కెన్ క్వికెన్ అస్. It says in verse 5, please read verse 5, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. Yes, he has quickened us together with Christ Jesus. That is the kind of comparison. The Old Testament story is talking about the fact that we were dead in our sins and trespasses. And he who has quickened us, not we ourselves. We did not, just like Abraham did not believe in his own body. He never believed in his body that he can give such a kind. But God was able to do that. God was able to do that. And that is what we see here. And you and I should be able to understand this fact, that hope against hope. That is a persuasion. That is a conviction. That is the assurance. That is the faith. Rudiga nammuta. And you and I should have that particular one. And the second one that you and I should understand about this particular verse. What is the second one? Promise. Promise. What is this promise? Romans chapter 4. Back to Romans chapter 4. It is talking about the promise. Verse 20. With respect to the promise of God. With respect to the promise of God. What is this promise that God has given? With respect to the promise of God. Here we notice that there is something that has happened. Back to Genesis chapter 17. What was the promise that God gave? Genesis chapter 17. 17 and 18 are two chapters that we are going to keep with us. And you know what he said? God has told him. The promise was 16. No, verse 6. Sorry. That was a promise that God gave. Even in chapter 18 also, that was a promise that God gave, that they are going to have a child. The first thing that you can notice in this promise is unseen future. Unseen future. Future is not seen. An unseen future about which God is giving a promise. God is giving a promise about an unseen future. And in this particular one, you know what he was telling? He was telling that he was going to have a child. Verse 21. But by my covenant, I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. He was talking about an unseen future. God is telling him that you are going to have a son, and you shall name him Isaac. This is going to happen 1 year from now. In the next year, when I come, at this season next year, this is what is going to happen. An unseen future. God is telling about an unseen future. Even when it comes to salvation, he is talking about an unseen future. He's saying that I'm going to give you eternal life. It's unseen. But God is saying, I want you to be able to believe in what I'm telling about the future. It's a promise. He's giving a promise by his word. He's telling a promise. And faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Not seen, but you have a faith of something that is unseen. God is saying, I'm going to give you eternal life. Just like God told to Abraham, next year by this season, you're going to have a child. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted for to him for righteousness. So he's talking about his unseen future that he had to believe. That is a promise. God has given many promises for you and I. Do we believe in his promises? Do we believe that he is going to do it? Even in Genesis chapter 18, God tells Sarah that is anything too hard for me? In terms of future that is going to happen in your life, is anything too hard for me? I can do more than what you can believe. To do more than what I can dream about. We just sang that song, God is able. He is able. He wants to give his promise to us. Acts chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. Please read Acts chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. Even though when he did not have a child, God promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him. An unseen future, he didn't have a child. Yet God is promising him that he is going to give it to him. This land was going to be given to him as a possession and his descendants after him. God was promising to someone who did not have anything yet. If they had a child and then God told him, I will make you a great nation. Oh, okay, I have a child, so I'll have descendants through him. He did not have a child, it says here. The child of promise was not given to him. Yet he believed in God who had promised. He believed in the God who has promised. God wants you and I to be able to believe in the promises that he has given us. Do you believe in his promise? He has given many promises in his word. At the beginning of the year, we take individual promises. Even as a church, we have a church promise as well. What is this promise? It is a promise about a future. It is a promise about our eternal life that he has promised. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Eternity in heaven that he has promised us, which has begun the day when you are saved. The day when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. With a repentant heart, when you come to him, that is what is the beginning of your eternal life. And he has promised eternity for us. There's no end to it, and that is what he has promised. If he has promised eternity, won't he be able to fulfill the things that are essential in our daily lives? An unseen future. An uncertainty of the future. What will happen? What will happen to me? What will happen to my job situation? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my immigration situation? What will happen to my financial situation? Unseen future. If God could save us and promises the eternity, how much more is he able to fulfill the promises that he has given you and I? Do you know what the promises God has given you? My dear, we need to be able to rest on the promises of God. He has promised. Vagdanamal icche devudu. He is the one who gives promises. He's been giving promises even in the Old Testament. And Apostle Paul is comparing that promise to our Christian life, our salvation experience, and much more than that, that he's not a God who just saves us and leaves us. No, he's taking care of us, sustaining us in our walk with him. I don't know how many of us read the book Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan wrote this. It is the second largest circulated or sold book after the Bible, which is the Pilgrim's Progress. And I just want to read a little snippet from that. The incident is related to how Christian decides to leave the main highway and follow another path which seemed easier. But his path leads him into a territory of giant despair and owns doubting castle. He diverts himself from the main highway. He goes to another place and the territory of giant despair, and he owns a doubting castle. He gets into the doubting castle. Eventually, he's captured by giant despair and kept in a dungeon. He's advised to kill himself. The giant said there was no use trying to keep on with his journey. For the time, it seemed as if despair had really conquered the Christian. But then, hope, Christian's companion, reminds him of previous victories. So it came about on Saturday, about midnight, they began to pray and continued to pray until almost morning. Now, a little before it was day, the Christian, as one half amazed, broke out in passionate speech, "What a fool am I, thus to lie in a stinking dungeon, when I may as well be at liberty. I have a key in my bosom called promise. That will, I am persuaded, open any lock in the doubting castle. I have a key in my bosom, which is called a promise. And that promise can open any lock in the doubting castle." "That's good news. Good brother," the hopeful said. "Pluck it out of thy bosom and try." And the prison gates flew open. What did he take out? The key of promise. Many times we forget the promises of God when we are going through troubles in our lives. Take that promise of God. It is the key to open any door of the doubting castle. Maybe we are doubting what is going to happen. Is God really going to do this in my life? He did not waver in his faith, the Bible says about Abraham, but grew strong in faith. And that is what you and I need to be able to have. And that faith, God is the one who is the author of that faith in him as well. He is the author and finisher of the faith for Abraham. And let us look at the second point about this promise. The promise of the unseen future by his word. And secondly, it is a guarantee by his grace. Romans chapter 4 and 16. Please read Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be sure, or in other words, guaranteed. In my translation, New American Standard, or in English Standard Version also, I think uses the word guarantee. Surety. The promise that God has given is a guaranteed promise. He who has promised will fulfill it, my dear. He is a God who is not only a promise-giving God, but a promise-fulfilling God. And that is what it's a guarantee he is giving. The covenant that he has made, it is a covenant that he has made to not only Abraham, but also, it says, will be guaranteed to all the descendants, it says in verse 16. It's a guarantee. Guarantee is given to us. When promise is given, a guarantee is given as well. And that guarantee is by his grace. The faith and the grace, verse 16. The faith that is being talked about and the grace that is being talked about is the promise, that the promise will be guaranteed. The promise is guaranteed. It's for sure. It's for sure, my dear. Let us not waver in our faith. Let us not be in the doubting castle. But let us use the key of the promise and come out of the doubting castle right now. Maybe we are doubting certain things about God. Is God able to do that? How is God able to do this in my life? Is God able to save me from all my sins? Everything God is able to do. And have that faith in him that he is guaranteeing that promise. He's guaranteeing that promise. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 8 and 9. Please read. Ephesians. By grace are ye saved. Yes. Yes. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. The faith that he is enabling us to have. the grace that he's been showering. Avaranda chadavandi telugu lo 8 9 vachanalu విశ్వాసము ద్వారా కృపచేతనే రక్షింపబడి ఉన్నారు. దిస్ సాల్వేషన్ దట్ గాడ్ హ్యాస్ గివెన్ ఈజ్ బై గ్రేస్ త్రూ ఫెయిత్. ద గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ షవర్డ్ అపాన్ అస్ ఇన్ సచ్ ఎ మేనర్ దట్ ఈస్ ఎనేబ్లింగ్ అస్ టు హ్యావ్ ఫెయిత్ టువర్డ్స్ హిమ్, అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ద సాల్వేషన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఇస్. హీ వాంట్స్ అస్ టు హ్యావ్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ హిమ్ because of the grace that he has showered upon us. And he is the one who is doing both the aspects in our lives. And by grace, through faith, you have been saved. Are you saved? It is a guarantee that he is giving us that he is the God who is going to fulfill his promises by grace. You know what grace means? God's riches at Christ's expense. He has showered his grace upon us. Prabhu ee lokaniki vacharu. Mana gurinchi chanipoyaru. Mana paapamla gurinchi chanipoyaru. ఆయన కృప మన మీద ఉంచారు. విశ్వాసము ద్వారా ఆయనని స్వంత రక్షకునిగా అంగీకరిస్తే, వెన్ వి బిలీవ్ ఇన్ హిమ్ బై ఫెయిత్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద గ్రేస్ దట్ హీ షవర్డ్ అపాన్ us, దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ద సాల్వేషన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్. అండ్ ద అదర్ ప్రామిసెస్ దట్ హీ హాస్ గివెన్ దట్ దేర్ ఆర్ ఏ అండ్ ఆమెన్ ఇన్ అవర్ లైఫ్స్ మై డియర్. హీ ఈస్ ద గాడ్ హూ ఈస్ ప్రామిసింగ్ us. యు నో వాట్ హీ హాస్ ప్రామిస్డ్? యాక్ట్స్ చాప్టర్ 2 Verse 38 and 39. Promises unto you, to your children, yes, repent each one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a promise that he has given. It is a promise where the word of God says we need to have the experience of repentance and forgiveness of our sins and showing forth in the baptism as well. The baptism that is internal has to be expressed out to tell that God has forgiven me of my sins. This promise of the Holy Spirit of God is for you and your children. God wants, it's a guarantee. The Holy Spirit of God is a guarantee. Ephesians 1 talks about it. That seal that he has done, given, is a guarantee that you are a child of God. Not human being giving that guarantee, but the Holy Spirit of God giving that guarantee. You and I need to have that guarantee because he is able to perform. And finally, third aspect that you and I need to learn is perform. The first thing that you and I should understand here is he is faithful to fulfill. He's perform. He is able to perform, or he's able to do, it says in some of the other English Standard Version. He is able to do. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11, what does it say? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. She judged him faithful who had promised. He is faithful to fulfill, my dear. That is what the belief that you and I need to have. That God is a God who is faithful to fulfill his promises. He's a God. He's not a human that he should lie. If he had spoken something, he will fulfill it. And that is what a God we have. And we should hold on to that profession of our faith without wavering, because he is faithful. He who is faithful, he who has promised is faithful. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who has promised is faithful. My dear, God has promised and he is able to perform because he is faithful to fulfill it in your life and my life. And last and final one that you can note down about this aspect, about the fact that God is able to perform, is he's going to perform in his appointed time, an appropriate time, an appointed time and an appropriate time. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 15. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15. Who is this talking about? Verse 13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, verse 13, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will bless you and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. Appropriate time, the appointed time, patiently, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. And while you're waiting, what should you do? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. What should you do while you wait for the promise? For ye have need of patience. Yes. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I'm patiently waiting for God's promise. I'm patiently waiting for God's promise. There's something in between patience and receiving the promise. What is it? Doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Many times we miss on this. I'm waiting for God gave me the promise. January 1st, God gave me the promise. I'm waiting for his promise. What is happening? Why are we not able to do the will of God? If God is prompting us to be involved in his ministry, if God is prompting us to go out and share the gospel to a friend of yours or anyone, whatever the way God is calling you for, telling you to do, the Bible says you will receive what was promised after you have done the will of God. After you have done the will of God. The faith that is needed, a hope against your own hope that is needed, and believing in unseen future, and to be able to know that it's a guaranteed future and the promise that he has given by grace. He is faithful to fulfill the promise. I know I'm going to do his will. Do his will, my dear. Do will of God. Not only knowing the will of God, but doing the will of God. To accept the will of God and say, Lord, I'm accepting your will in my life. Are you ready to do the will of God? When I was reading this verse, God really convicted me, saying, I'm giving you promises. I'm just reminding you again and again, do the will of God. I want to share with you what God is speaking to me, that after you need to have patience so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Maybe we have not been receiving the promises of God because he's waiting for the right time to give it to you. Why? Because he's waiting for you to do the will of God. And in his time, he'll make all things beautiful. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Wonderful songs that we sing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. What does it say? I have a New American Standard Bible. It says, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. There is an appointed time for everything. At the appointed time, Sarah gave birth to Isaac. At the appointed time, Jesus Christ came into this world. Appointed time. There's a season for everything. At that particular season, God is going to do it. He's going to fulfill that promise. You're going to receive that promise at the appointed time. God might have given the promise, but at the appointed time, God is going to give the promise being fulfilled in our lives. And also it says in verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Again, in my New American Standard Bible, you know what it says? Verse 11, he has made everything appropriate in its time. He has made everything appropriate in its time. And my dear brothers and sisters, in his time, he'll make all things beautiful. He's a God who is a promise-giving and promise-fulfilling God. He's a God who has come into this world to die for you and I. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 21 onwards. I want to read this. Please listen to this very carefully. Romans chapter 4 verse 21 onwards. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. Why? Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. Verse 23. Now, not only for his sake only, Abraham's sake only, was it written that it was credited to him, verse 24, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited. If you are fully persuaded that he who promised is able to perform, he who promised is able to give life to a dead person who is dead in sins and trespasses, who is able to perform what he has promised, who is able to, he has given me the promise this year, he is able to perform in his time. And it says in verse 24, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. He was able to bring life from his own death. And verse 25, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. He was delivered for our transgressions. Please read in any other language, verse 25, Romans 4:25. He was delivered for our transgressions and raised for our justification. I think, sister, you can read it too. Jesus Christ was delivered for our sins and was raised for our justification. That is how it ended up. So the context, if you really look at this verse 21, is the fact that God is able to perform the justification in our lives. He's the one, not we, but he's the one who's able to. All you and I need to have is the faith that he has given us, to be able to exercise that faith, to grow in the faith, not to waver in the faith, that God is able to do that. And he has delivered for our transgressions and raised for our justification. I hope you'll remember these three words: persuade, promise, and perform. Maybe certain situations are going on in your life. First of all, you need to question yourself whether you have had the experience of the saving faith in your lives. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I humbly ask you to be able to consider what the Word of God is saying. He is the one who is showering his grace upon us. He is the one who is author of our faith. And all you need to do is to be persuaded that he is able to save me from this eternal destruction. And for those of us who are saved, an unseen future is ahead of us. He has promised us. He has guaranteed us. He is faithful to fulfill in his appointed time, in his appropriate time. But do the will of God. And I hope we will be able to put this into practice in our daily lives and to be able to be prepared for the future that is ahead of us. Let's close our eyes and ponder over what we have learned today, my dear. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, He is able to perform the promises that he has given us. Vagdanam niche devudu nerevercha devudu kuda vagdanamula nichi nerevercha vadavuneve ane paata paadukuntam manam. This is the verse from which it was taken. He is the God who will perform his promises. Oh my dear, Jesus Christ has come into this world. He was delivered for our transgressions and he was raised for our justification. All you need to do is to believe in that God. If he was able to give his own son Jesus Christ